Good morning. Good morning and welcome. If you're visiting us this morning, I hope you find peace and friendship with us. And please join us for tea and coffee after the service when there's also a light lunch for sale. We'll meet for prayers in the church on Tuesday and Thursday at 9:15 a.m. if you could like to come along and join us. If you can't attend, please hold in your prayers the folks in cancer hospitals and hospices. The coffee morning's here at St Ninian's Church Hall every Tuesday, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. And the guild meeting is tomorrow night, Monday the 9th of March at 7:30 in the church hall. And the speaker will be Sarah Jane Ramsay, who will tell us about her visits to Cattiga. It's also our AGM. Christian Aid lunches begin on Thursday the 12th of March at the Masonic Hall, Green Street Stonehouse, from 12 noon to 1:30 p.m. St Ninian's Church will be responsible on the 12th, so that's the first day we're responsible, for baking, raffles and helping to serve. If you can help, if you could please speak to myself after the service. And the lunches will also take place on Thursday the 19th and the 26th of March and will finish on Thursday the 2nd of April. If you could please come along and support this worthy cause. The Lent Bible study, Stuart's going to lead a Bible study for Lent on Thursday the 12th, Thursday the 19th and Thursday the 26th of March and also the 2nd of April at 7:30, either in the church hall or the church. The Male Voice Choir annual concerts on Thursday the 12th and Friday the 13th of March at Paterson United Free Church. If you liked it, I think Bill and Danny and I don't know who else will have tickets if you would like tickets. The fundraising committee are holding a family quiz night on Saturday the 14th of March in the church hall and the tickets are available today and there will also be a fundraising meeting immediately after the service in the transept. Hamilton Press wish to invite you to the XYZ, a free intergenerational conference for everyone primary 7 up, on the 14th of March, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Motherwell South Parish Church. The keynote speaker is the Very Reverend Susan Brown, and the workshops include mental health, climate change, places and spaces, worship and poverty. And it would be great to have a group of people from St Ninian's attending on this important day about the future of the church. The book group will meet on Sunday the 15th of March at 7:30, and the book to read is Chocolate by Joanne Harris. Congregational and Elders meeting will take place on Monday the 16th of March at 7 p.m. and Paul Graham, Head of Spiritual Care, will be attending. Hope Cafes on Thursday the 19th of March, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and all are welcome to come along. The Guild Craft Nights on Monday the 23rd of March at 7:30. And a Passion Play will take place on Friday the 10th of April at 3:15 at Castle Street, Hamilton, then at Duncan Rigg Secondary School on Saturday the 11th of April at 2:30. The organisers are looking for folks to help to steward the events, and if you could help, if you could speak to myself at the end of the service. If you know of anyone who's ill and in hospital or celebrating a happy occasion, if you could let Anne Thompson or Margaret Patrick know and we'll send flowers or visit. And we do have a happy occasion today. George Matheson will be the big 7-0 tomorrow. So, happy birthday, George. Can we just sing happy birthday to him?
If you don't know who George is, he's the one with the big red face at the back of the balcony. Happy birthday, George. Just before we start, another kind of wee intimation. As you're all aware, there's some virus thing knocking about. And I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about it, but we're going to put in place a couple of wee infection control measures. So you should have noticed on the way in today that somebody opened the door for you. That's so that only one person's touching the door. One of the ways that viruses spread is by touching things that other people have touched. So we'll try and minimise that. And also because of that, I'm not going to shake your hand at the door. today. I'll be at the door and I'll say good morning or good afternoon or whatever time it is, but I'm not going to shake your hand, because if the first person through the door isn't well, then I'm spreading it to 100 other folk. So we'll try and keep those kinds of things to a minimum for a wee while. We don't qualify as a big gathering, sadly. And the rugby's on today anyway, so it's just sensible measures. The other thing to say is, if you feel unwell with flu-like symptoms, please don't come to church. Okay, stay at home, keep it to yourself, that would be lovely. If you do stay at home and you miss the service, you can listen to it online at st-ninians-stonehouse.org.uk. We record the service every week and it's posted online, so you can listen to the whole service, or there's a wee podcast of just the readings and the sermon at anchor.fm. If you search your podcast provider for St. Ninian's service sermons, you'll find it there. So just a couple of things just to be wary of, or just to keep in our heads, just about, you know, washing our hands and all that kind of stuff. So with that said, let's begin. Each day is an invitation. An invitation to set off on a new life, to walk a new path, to be a different kind of person, to live and move and have our being in God, to be saved from the darkness that lurks in the corners of all our hearts, to be fully alive, to be loved. That invitation is offered to each and every one of us, each and every day. So come, let's gather around that promise that we might be blessed, and in our blessedness, be a blessing to God's world. Let's worship the maker of that promise, because his word is true and his covenant endures. Let's sing hymn number 81. It's Psalm 121, "I to the hills will lift mine eyes." Join in prayer. God of promise and of hopeful travelling, God of hard questions and resolute love for all, as Abram set out in his old age on a journey to the unknown, as Nicodemus tiptoed by night to find a man who, against all reason, had drawn him and roused his curiosity, so we continue our Lenten journey today. For some of us, it's a familiar path, as we revisit old stories and walk with Jesus on the way to Calvary. The agony softened by knowing how the story ends. For others, though, this year may be different. Our loneliness might echo his. Our suffering might help us feel his pain. Our experience of loss may draw us close to those who grieve for him. Or perhaps, like Nicodemus, we have lots of questions buzzing in our heads. Do I really believe this? Do I still belong? May we be brave enough, as he was, to confront our fears and to ask our questions. May we dare to step out from the crowd to seek out our God. And when we find you and are found, may we not be daunted by your challenge to all that we thought we knew and were. May we set out boldly on your new way for us, the way to life in all its fullness. Hear us, Lord, as we join in your word, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our readings today are from Genesis and from the Gospel of John, and Alan's going to read for us this morning.
And the first reading this morning is from Genesis 12, chapters 1 to 4. God's call to Abram. The Lord said to Abram, Leave your country, your relatives, and your father's home, and go to a land that I am going to show you. I will give you many descendants, and they will become a great nation. I will bless you and make your name famous, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, but I will curse those who curse you. And through you, I will bless all the nations. When Abraham was 75 years old, he started out from Haran, as the Lord told him to do, and Lot went with him. And the second reading is from John 3, and it's verses 1 to 17, Jesus and Nicodemus. There was a Jewish leader named Nicodemus who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. One night he went to Jesus and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you are doing unless God were with him. Jesus answered, I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a grown man be born again? Nicodemus asked. He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time. I'm telling you the truth, replied Jesus. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. A person is born physically of human parents, but he is born spiritually of the Spirit. Do not be surprised because I tell you that you must all be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. It is like that with everyone who is born of the Spirit. How can this be? Asked Nicodemus. Jesus answered, You are a great teacher in Israel, and you don't know this? I'm telling you the truth. We speak of what we know and report what we have seen, yet none of you is willing to accept our message. You do not believe me when I tell you about the things of this world. How will you ever believe me then when I tell you about the things of heaven? And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man, who came down from heaven. As Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the desert, in the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Saviour. Amen.
Thanks, Alan. Morning. I'll stand. Who's coughing? How are we doing? Yeah? I'm going to give you something. Okay? I'm going to give you something amazing. Okay?
A dog?
No. Give you two dogs if you want. Just thinking about it. Okay, you sure? You sure?
Actually, I think
three dogs would be good. If I could give you anything, what would you want? If I could give you anything.
Three dogs.
Three dogs. Is that all? Would you like money? Can I hear you? Your cat to come out under the thing. Oh, have you got a new cat? A cat, like a full grown cat. God, she's just new. She's just come to live with you. What's her name?
Nikita.
Nikita. That's a lovely. Let's fall off again. So you've got a new cat and you'd like her to come out. Okay, that's a nice wish, Cameron.
Your word.
My word?
Yes.
You'd like my word?
Yeah.
On what?
Just to share your knowledge.
To share my knowledge? Okay.
Almighty knowledge.
My almighty knowledge. I like him. He's fast becoming my favourite. Okay, so you want to know stuff. That's interesting, because that's what the story's about today, isn't it? Nicodemus went to Jesus because he wanted to know stuff. And he wasn't scared to ask, which is something we're not very good at, isn't it? Sometimes we're not very good at asking when we don't know the answer to something. Or we pretend that we do know the answer. Whoever does that? Has anybody ever done that? Just kind of bluff it out. Just kind of, yeah? There's a really good trick to that. It's when somebody asks you a question that you don't know the answer to, you say, why is that question important to you? What do you think the answer to that? Jesus does that all the time, doesn't he? Turns it back on them. Okay, so knowing stuff, that's a really good thing. What would you do to get it? If I had to say, right, I could give you any of those things, what would you give up to get that? So if I was going to say to you, Fraser, right, you can have three dogs, but you have to give something up. What would you give up?
Money.
Okay, you give up money, Cameron.
My knowledge.
Your knowledge. So you'd give up your knowledge for my knowledge. Jeez. I'm not sure that's a fair deal. You'd give away Lucy. Do you know what? That's the first time I've ever heard Lucy speak. It's amazing. In the first story that we read today, there was a man called Abram who eventually becomes called? That's not a thing. Eventually, his name changes to Abraham, and he's quite famous. But at the start of the story, nobody knows who he is, and he's quite old. He's 75. And God says to him, I'm going to make you the beginning of a great nation. Okay? I'm going to make you into this thing called Israel. So eventually Israel begins with Abraham, right? But all Abraham has to do is leave behind everything that he's ever known. He has to leave all the people he knows, all the things that he knows, and all the places that he knows, and goes to somewhere that God's going to tell him where it is. He doesn't know where he's going at the start. Does that sound like a good deal? It's a bit risky, isn't it? Yeah, especially when you find out that Abraham and his wife Sarah didn't have any children. And they were 75. So how's he going to have this, all these descendants? That's some promise, isn't it? And guess what he does? He goes. And everybody thinks he's off his head. They think he's crazy. And so they send his nephew with him to keep tabs on him, to look after him, kind of like his carer, just in case anything happens. That's a huge thing to do, isn't it? Just to say, right, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to take all my stuff and we're going to go because God promised us that everything would be okay and that we would be blessed so that we could bless other people. That's a huge thing, isn't it? To give up everything that you've ever known to follow God. That's a massive thing to do, isn't it? That's even more than giving up Lucy. Would you give him up? In a minute. It's a big challenge for all of us, isn't it? What would we give up to follow God? Let's sing a song. One more step, is it? Yeah. Oh, I'd remembered the hymn. First, it's number 530, One More Step Along the World I Go. Few weeks, we're going to leave Matthew's Gospel behind and return to the fourth Gospel, the Gospel of John. And before we start to do that, we need to remember a few things about what John's account of Jesus is like, and that it really isn't like the other three. It's not like Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John's Gospel is really quite different. Rather than giving us a biography of Jesus, John is much more interested in showing us something bigger, the cosmic Christ, at one with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. John's Gospel also connects very deeply to Genesis, and particularly to the stories at the beginning of Genesis, like the poem at Genesis 1 of creation, and sets it very firmly as part of that story, that Jesus is a continuation of that story that began at the very, very beginning. Jesus, for John, is the Word, there at the beginning of all things, through whom everything came into being. And the Word became flesh, skin of our skin, bone of our bone, and lived among us. That opening passage of the fourth Gospel also talks about darkness and light. The darkness is a place where people live in ignorance and sin. The light is Jesus coming to rid the world of that darkness so everyone can live as God intended. So Nicodemus, one of the religious leaders, a scholar, an elder, a member of the ruling council, comes to see Jesus at night in the darkness. We'll talk a bit more about light and darkness next week, but for now it's enough to note that it's dark when Nicodemus comes. He comes looking for illumination, for light to be shed on his understanding. He wants to know more. He wants to understand who Jesus is and what he's been talking about. What do the things that Jesus has been doing mean? And so Jesus and Nicodemus enter into this slightly odd conversation where Jesus talks about being born again or being born from on high. And Nicodemus just doesn't understand. He doesn't understand because he thinks Jesus is being literal. You have to be physically born again. You have to go back into your mother's womb and be born again. And that's impossible. Being born again is one of those phrases that's made its way into church language, isn't it? It's used to describe a particular moment, a moment when things changed. People use that phrase to describe converting to Christianity or giving your life to Jesus or a thing. It's a bit like on the road to Damascus, Paul sees a blinding light and he's blinded for 3 days and God speaks to him and it's a great big dramatic moment. Some of you will have had experiences like that. Some of you might have had several experiences like that, but some of you won't. Some of you will be wondering what on earth I'm talking about, and probably not for the first time. The reality is that most people come to faith gradually. Most people don't ever remember a time when they didn't believe in God. And that's the case for Nicodemus. He's always been Jewish. There's never been a time where he's not been Jewish. And as a Jew, he knows that he's part of God's chosen people. He's a descendant of Abraham. There's nothing that can change that. He can't renew it or leave it or come back to it. He just is it. But more than that, he's a teacher. He's a leader. He's a person who knows all this stuff about faith and the law. He's an expert. And that makes Jesus' conversation with him a really frustrating one. Jesus says, "Truly I tell you that no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." The other thing that matters in this conversation is that Nicodemus is old. Age was equated with wisdom. Nicodemus is old and wise. Unlike our culture, which seems to value youthfulness above all else, Nicodemus' community valued older people above all else. Because with age comes status and authority and wisdom. So why on earth would you want to be young again and give up that status, that position, all those things that you've learned over the years? But the other part of that age is perhaps the attitude that you've seen it all and done it all. There's nothing new under the sun. He's watched preachers like Jesus come and go. Besides, can you really teach an old dog new tricks? And that way of thinking is confusing for Jesus. How can this man, with all his experience, with all his learning and all his wisdom, just not get it? Nicodemus is supposed to know. He teaches other people this stuff. He's a religious man. But he doesn't seem to understand the fundamental stories of his own people. Even the story of Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. Abraham wasn't always called Abraham. In the beginning of his story, he was a man called Abram. And God said to Abram, "Go from your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." And Abram goes. And these days of people traveling all around the world, that doesn't really seem like a big deal, does it? People do this all the time. They just get up and go and live somewhere else. And it's a blessing. And as we're finding out at the moment, it can also be a curse. People can travel all around the world. They can see things, they can visit places, and they can bring their germs back with them. But in those days, nobody went. Nobody went anywhere. Ever. God's call to Abraham is so far from normal, you have to wonder what on earth made Abraham listen and even consider it. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. From your country, the place where you are, the place where you're from, your kindred, your clan, your tribe, your people, your father's house, your family, your brothers and sisters and nephews and nieces. That's what Abram's asked to go from, to leave all this behind, to leave everything that he has ever known. All of his family, all of his friends, all his security, and perhaps even more importantly, his land. He's asked to become a wanderer, a sojourner. And in those days, nobody wanted to do that. Why would you? The only thing that's out there are people who want to kill you and steal your stuff. But after that call, there's a promise. I will make of you a great nation, and I'll bless you, and I'll make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Well, that sounds better, doesn't it? Sign me up. Father of a great nation. Blessed. Everyone that curses me will be cursed. That sounds brilliant, doesn't it? I'd sign up for that. But there's just one minor detail. Abram and his wife Sarah have no children. And they're old. Sarah, in fact, is the first woman in the Bible to be described as barren. This whole promise is beyond belief. Leaving is nothing short of madness. How could you think that this old couple with no children could father a great nation? It's just bonkers, isn't it? And add to that all the reasons why he shouldn't go. And there's one detail that we've left out. Abram is the only person that knows God. Nobody else does. None of his family, none of his friends, they don't know who God is. Abram's the only person that's heard from God. And he leaves with absolutely no idea where he's going. Not a clue. He goes in faith, knowing that God is asking him to go and that God will show him the way. And his nephew Lot gets dragged into this harebrained scheme too, probably to make sure that the old guy doesn't do something mad, or even more mad. Or perhaps more likely that if he gets killed in 2 days, all of his stuff will stay in the family. Abram, the old man, chooses to be a new person. He's reborn as Abraham. And the promise that God made is kept. Abram is born anew from above. But for us, I think the important part of the promise is this. Your nation will be blessed so that you can bless everyone. God uses the particular to save the universal. God chooses one person, well, two really, Abram and Sarah. He chooses them to begin a project that will correct all the things that have gone wrong. But look who he chooses. An old man and his childless, barren wife. These are the people who will begin to bless the whole of the world. God uses the particular to save the universal. So here in the middle of this conversation with Nicodemus, we read perhaps the most famous sentence in the whole of the world. John 3:16. Who knows it off by heart? Nobody. You're telling lies. Who knows it off by heart? At least one of you. Who to learn it for a badge in the boys' brigade or the girls' brigade? That'd be me, aye. It's one of those things you see at sporting events, people holding up signs, John 3:16. It's the gospel in a nutshell. But I wonder how much we think about that sentence and the implications of it. I wonder if we ever put it back into its context and read it along with verse 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God uses the particular, a man, just one man, his son, Jesus, to save the universal, all of us, everyone, the whole of the world. And it happens in exactly the same way it happened for Abram. By inviting other people into a spiritual rebirth, a relationship to follow God into a new life. And in that relationship, we start to recognize who Jesus really is. There will be a moment at the end of the Gospel of John where the risen Christ comes and stands among his disciples, and they finally see him for who he really is. In the middle of a locked room, Jesus literally inspires them, breathes the Holy Spirit into them, so that they are in complete relationship with God. Like us, Nicodemus thinks he's already in that relationship. But like any kind of relationship, it can just kind of bump along at a pretty shallow level. Or with a bit of work, it can be deepened. And at the deepest level of a relationship, the two people in it become one. And that relationship, mutual, caring, nurturing, and loving. This invitation to new life, this eternal life that Jesus talks about, comes through relationship. Relationship with Jesus. That's the whole point of the incarnation for John. Why would God bother? Why would God send Jesus to be like us if it wasn't so that we could get to know him better? And the end point of that relationship is a relationship so deep that we live and breathe and have our being in God. That's what it means to be born again from above. Each day is an invitation to set off on a new life, to walk a new path, to be a different kind of person, to live and move and have our being, to be saved from the darkness that lurks in the corners of each of our hearts, to be fully alive, to be completely loved. Each day that invitation is offered to each and every one of us. We are the particular. We are the individuals that God chooses to bless the rest of the world. But like Nicodemus, we have to choose. We have to choose to live out that blessing, to deepen that relationship, to do what Abram does, to go where we don't know, following a promise. A promise that everything will be all right, and that through our blessing, the world will be blessed. Amen. Let's sing. Our hymn is number 526. This is a day of new beginning, and we sing it to the tune St. Clement. Thank you. Let's bring to God our offering. Lord God, you hold out the promise of new life, a fresh start, no matter who we are or what we've done or failed to do. What can we possibly bring in return for that degree of trust, that depth of love? The good news is that you demand nothing, not even really a response, before you love us. And so, not because we must, but because we may, we bring whatever it is that we have to give you, knowing that it and we are always welcome. Amen. Our hymn is number 212, Morning Has Broken. Thank you.
Can we join together in prayer? God, we thank you for the rich well of history and tradition from which we can draw when searching for meaning, for answers to our questions and somewhere to belong. We give thanks for our own church with its own unique insights and giftings, with people who know us and care for us, as we know and care for them, but also with its own particular brand of blinkers, which can restrict our vision and limit our horizons. We pray for any who no longer feel at home, in family, church, or in the modern world, those who want to be true to themselves but fear rejection and isolation. We pray for those who are searching for a faith that fits and a God who understands, for those who have given up the search in satisfaction or despair because they think there is no more to be found. Disturb our complacency, God, we pray. Whet our appetite and fire our imaginations so that we go on discovering and growing as long as there is breath in our bodies and longing in our souls. We pray for those who are hemmed in by past hurts and failures, who wish they could turn back the clock and start again. May they find acceptance and assurance of forgiveness, a rebirth that does not deny the past, but takes and transforms it for the world's healing and our own. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Thanks, Margaret. Our final hymn is number 512, 512, To God Be the Glory. Jesus was visited at night to be questioned. We, like Nicodemus, seek to know Jesus better. we, like Nicodemus, seek to understand. So as we leave this place, God goes with us, enlivening us and illuminating our way, giving us fresh understanding and new insight. So we go with the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this day and forevermore.